Amen. Well, let's turn to the word of the Lord here tonight for just a few moments. Praise God. John chapter 15 and verse 5. Amen. And I know that the Lord gave this to me, gave us the word of God here tonight. And I just feel like getting back to the basics and preaching the basics. Sometimes as a pastor, you feel the pressure to pull a rabbit out of the hat, do a magic trick or some sort of fancy dance or whatever to get everybody excited. And I used to think that, and it put an awful lot of pressure on me as a young pastor. But I've come to understand it really isn't me at all. And that's a humbling experience. It's not me at all. It's Him. Praise God. And if we can just do the will of God, then the results will take place from God. John 15 and verse 5. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Amen. Does anybody here tonight want to be a disciple?
Amen.
A follower. So shall you be my follower. Amen. And I want to be a follower of Him. Lord, we thank you tonight for the word of God. I pray your hand upon the word tonight. Speak to every heart that's here, and not just those that are here, but those that are listening tonight. In Jesus' name, let the word of God find its mark. And somebody said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated tonight. God bless you. And when we look at the teachings of Jesus Christ, we see that his parables are very simple, and not just simple, but they're very profound at the very same time. And in many of his teachings, he used plants and seeds, and he talked about the ground to bring out a spiritual truth that will apply to us. He brought things out that were very common in their day. Agriculture was a big part. They didn't have manufacturing, so to speak. Maybe a carpentry shop or something along that line. But there was not the industry that we have here today. Most of it was agriculture. And he brought out the things that they could understand, that even the young could understand and apply to their lives. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 17 and 18. Matthew 7 and 17. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And so that's just one example of the teachings of the Lord. And I think today, if we use that method, it would get the word of God across to the young and to the old and to everyone in between. Praise God. Well, are y'all here tonight?
Amen.
Amen. I hope we don't have any horns out here tonight. All right. Praise the Lord. Somebody's alive here tonight.
Amen.
That's what I like. Amen. You just leave him right in here. I need some amens back there in the amen corner. Praise God. And so he gives us here an understanding that a good tree brings forth good fruit. It's very simple. It goes down to the roots of the tree. It goes down to the quality and the characteristics of the tree that will determine the fruit that is born upon the tree, upon the branches of the tree. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 3, another parable here. He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, there's the root right there, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And so here we have another parable of very common things, a sower that would go out and sow. And we know that in sowing the word of God, there are disappointments, I guess, if you want to say it that way. There are those that you invest your time and you sow the word of God into their hearts. And then it seems like out of nowhere, but it's not really out of nowhere. It is really a representation of the quality of the tree. Amen. And out of four different types of soil, we know that the soil represents people, and the seed represents the word of God, and the sower is someone who teaches the word, who shares the word. It's really not talking about seeds and plants, but it's talking about people, the characteristics of people, and what different individuals are going to do with the Word of God. You see, it's very important what we do with the Word of God, because there are birds that are going to come, and that represents the devil, and the devil will snatch up the Word of God and will tell you that it's not important, will tell you that you're crazy for believing that pastor over there, or whatever the situation is. If what you're saying is true, then Uncle Bob was not saved, and so on and so forth. And the reasons and the ways that the devil works are myriad. And yet, when it falls upon the wayside ground, let's look at it. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 18, he gives us the interpretation of the parable. And if you want to understand all of the parables that he spoke, then you got to get a hold of the basic things that he's trying to get across. He's not trying to tell us how to grow a plant or to grow a crop, but he's talking about our relationship with God, and he's talking about our relationship with the Word of God. Amen. And it's sown, and the sower might sow it with his right hand, and he might sow it with his left hand, and he might sow it not feeling good, or he might sow it with a limp or with a bad foot or whatever it is. But it's not the person, it's what the person is doing in sowing the Word of God. Amen. Because there's no miracle in Greg Wurst. There's no miracle in anybody here tonight, but the miracle is in the seed. Amen. It is a miracle thing that God did when he created seeds. And some seeds they have found to be thousands of years old, and when they plant them, they produce a fruit. Praise God. It's an awesome thing when you think about what God did. But it lets us to know that the seed, when it is taken care of and is in the right atmosphere or whatever, in the right soil of the heart, that it will last forever. Jesus said, The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. He said, Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. That's pretty profound when you begin to think about it. It can lay dormant for 1,000 years, But all you've got to do is get your word out and start to read it, and miracles will start to happen.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Who knows how many, many hundreds of years went by and there was no revival until someone in Topeka, Kansas said, we read it in the Word of God that they spoke in tongues when they received the Holy Ghost. Let's pray and fast and see what God will do. And I believe there was about eight of them, and God filled them with the Holy Ghost right there in a building called Stone's Folly. And it was a man named Stone who was going to build a house, and he didn't have enough money to finish the house. And so they called it Stone's Folly. Out of Stone's Folly can come a revival. Praise God. Out of Stone's Folly can come a revival if somebody will just pick the Word of God up and sow it in somebody's heart. And maybe tonight you're a little bit discouraged because you've sowed the Word of God and you haven't seen any results. I would just like to encourage you to keep right on sowing the Word of God.
Amen.
Don't ever get away from the call that's upon each and every one of us. It's not the preacher's job, amen. It's not the Sunday school teacher's job, but it's all of our job tonight, amen, to get a bag full of seed and to spread it around and share it with somebody. Amen. Don't let the enemy fool you. He fooled me at one time and told me that I would never be able to reach anybody. It's too hard. I can't figure this thing of people out. And I would try here, and I'd get a little bit of result, and that would be the end of it. And I remember baptizing my best friend in the Arkansas River, and I'd only had the Holy Ghost 3 or 4 months, and yet today he's an alcoholic. Amen. You say, well, does that discourage you? No, well, it does in one way because I want to see him saved. But in another way, it doesn't discourage me because it's not my fault and it's not the Word of God's fault. Amen. It is the characteristic and the condition of the soil that the seed was planted in. And so when folks get a little something you know, an attitude or whatever, don't worry about it. Amen. That's the Word's problem right there. That's God's problem. Amen. And what we do is we just pray for one another and we get ourselves into the Word of God.
Amen.
It's all in the Word of God tonight. Amen. Hear the parable of the sower, verse 18, Matthew 13 and 18. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one. And I think I missed a page of notes or something here. Hang on just a minute. Well, praise God. I'll just have to go look it up in my Bible. Can you believe that? And I don't have one of those fancy iPads that Brother Reed uses. I've got paper. Amen. Paper. And if anything goes wrong, I can't call Google or Apple up and get it straightened out. Matthew chapter 13. I thought that's where I was at. Praise the Lord. You know, they say old preachers don't die. They just lose their text and wander. Amen. Well, thank God I'm not an old preacher yet. Hallelujah. All right, Matthew 13 and verse 18. Hear ye the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. All right, so the wayside, the characteristic of this ground is very hard. It's been stepped on. It's been walked on. It is ground that is very hard and has been stomped down so much that nothing can grow in it. Much like the street out in front of the church. It's concrete. It's really hard. And it'll take a long time for anything to grow, and then it won't be anything profitable or good. Amen. And that's the kind of ground that it is here. And I would like to just say to all of you that are listening here tonight that if life has put some hard things into your heart, you don't have to stay there. The Bible says to break up the fallow ground. Get the plow out and stir up the ground. You can make bad ground into good ground if you work at it. Praise the Lord, and he that among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. I think I skipped one right there. Let me look at this a little bit closer. Y'all think I'm losing my mind here tonight. He that received the seed into stony places, that's the one I wanted, the same is he that heareth the word, and Anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. And so this is one that was received into stony places. You can't really plant anything of quality in stony ground. Amen. It just doesn't work. It's got to be in soft, pliable ground. And things will spring up, but when the sun comes up and it is scorched, or when persecution comes, when things happen in our lives that we don't understand, it's right then that the characteristic of the plant or the characteristic of the individual is going to come out. Amen. And so that is the stony ground. And then in verse 22, he that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unprofitable. Amen. And so, you know, we've got to do things in this world, the care of this world. And there are times that we need to go to work and put our nose to the grind, as they say. And then there are times to just sit back and relax. There are times, and here I'm preaching, Paul said, if you preach something, you should live it. And there are some things that I preach that I don't live. Amen. And one of them is that it would be good for everybody to have some kind of a hobby. Amen. So that you can get away from the things of the day or the week, and just do something that you enjoy doing. But I don't follow what I preach. I don't really have a hobby. Amen. I'm just doing the work of God, and I wished I had a hobby. I go shooting every now and then, but it's every now and then. And I go golfing every now and then, when I can afford the balls that I lose. Amen. And well, on that line, I read something today that there was a fellow that was in a tournament in Nevada or somewhere over there, and he won the tournament, and the only club that he used was a putter. Amen. He teed off with a putter, Brother Greg, and chipped up with his putter, and he beat everybody else. Amen. And he started off with a $400 putter, and it broke. And so he went down to Goodwill and bought a Wilson putter, and it cost him $2.99, and he won the tournament because of that. Now I'm already wandering here tonight. But that would be a good hobby, to see if you could win a tournament with a putter. Amen. And it's a whole lot easier to carry the bag around when all you've got is a putter. Amen. Well, praise God. And so the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. And so the cares of this world, it's not something that's sinful. It's not something that's wrong. But it is just something that gets a hold of you and takes up all of your time and your energy and all of that. So I suppose this one right here is the thing that we struggle with the most here in America. Amen. I know we have every one of them in every nation in the earth, But here in America, we're so blessed with so many, many things that it is easy to get this going and that going and the other going. And before you know it, we're doing things that are not going to affect eternity at all, but we're just doing things that make us happy for just a little while. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with doing those things, but when it gets too far where we miss church, or we're not reading our Bible and we're not praying and we're not reaching out to others, we've got to be careful that our soil won't change to this kind of soil, thorny soil. And then the good ground. And it says, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Amen. And so we'll just stop right there at that parable. And so the good ground is quality ground. And not only is the ground good, but the seed that is sown in the ground is good. Amen. You've got to have good seed. And what we have tonight is good seed in the Word of God. Amen. It will always be good seed. When we begin to grow, Jesus said that every tree that brings forth good fruit is a good tree, and every tree that brings forth evil fruit is a bad tree. And you can't deviate from that, because what goes on underneath the ground is what is important. It's the root system. It is the delivery system of the roots that go out to the branches and creates fruit and brings fruit upon the tree. And the tree, if it is a healthy tree, it will just naturally produce fruit. It doesn't have to be taught to produce fruit. It doesn't have to be manipulated in any way to bring forth fruit. It just happens naturally because of the quality of what is below the ground. And when we look at people, and yes, even when we look at ourselves in the mirror, there are many times in life that we have to look at ourselves and say, what kind of soil am I? How far are my roots down? I've got a big tree at the house. It's a cottonwood, and there's a lot of them around the area. And it's probably now one of the tallest trees in the area. But I was looking at it the other day, and I realized that the roots of a cottonwood don't go down very far. They might go down about 3 feet, and then they spread out big and around. But a big wind will knock the trees over, and you see the roots pulled up. Well, it looks real majestic, and it looks real quality and everything like that. But in reality, it's not that good of a tree. Amen. It's not really that good if you want something that is solid. In the backyard, I've got an oak tree that I planted. It was about that big around, and now it's about that big around, and it's solid. It hasn't moved at all. It's because the quality of the tree and the quality of the soil and the taproot going down to the water, the living water that's under the ground. In your private time with God, in your prayer closet with God, in the secret place, amen, where it is really happening. And don't get the idea that when somebody's blessed, it's just a phenomenon. And sometimes God blesses and people aren't even right with God. But I'll tell you what, there are many times I've seen people that's praying and they don't tell anybody they're praying, and they don't broadcast it to anybody, and they're just blessed. Amen. And it's because of what goes on underneath the ground. And so with this understanding tonight, in a basic understanding of parables, then we can look at the parable that he spoke, and he spoke it to the Pharisees and Sadducees. And he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. for without me you can do nothing. And so he spoke here of vines and branches. Very, very common thing in their day. They would have the vines of the grapes, and it was a big, big agricultural thing in their culture at this time. And so they all understood what he was doing. And we understand tonight that the vine is Jesus. The vine is the Lord God. And so the Lord has a deep root system, if you please. We can't even fathom the depth and the height and the breadth to know the love of God. His ways are far, far superior than our ways. His thoughts are far superior than our thoughts, because he goes deeper than anybody could ever go. His ways are past finding out. In other words, we're not going to be able to figure everything out in our physical world because of how complex God is. And his creation is just a drop in the bucket of his power and his wisdom. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
That's the God that we serve. And when you talk about the root system, we've got to talk about the root system of you and I. Because he put forth a parable and then he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that is in me is going to bring forth much fruit. And we know that when the vine is cut down, all the branches are going to die, all the fruit is going to wither, all the blossoms are going to fade, everything is going to be gone when the root or the vine at the trunk is cut down. And John the Baptist, he spoke to the Pharisees and the Sadducees in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 7. It was these religious hypocrites, and actually it wasn't Jesus, this was John the Baptist, and he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism. He said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now, notice this, and now also, the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And so we have the children of Abraham. Abraham is the father of the nation of Israel. And we have the children of Abraham here. And they rested in their generations, in their genealogy, and they could all go back to and point to where they came from, who their great-grandpa was, and what he did for God, and the miracles that he saw. But you know what, John the Baptist here was saying, don't talk about Abraham and say, that's our lineage, we're right with God because grandpa was right with God. That's not how it works. Amen. You've got to save yourself. Praise God. And as somebody preached one time, God has no grandsons. Our children have got to get a hold of this for themselves. Well, praise God. Somebody help me tonight. Amen. We've got to get it into their hearts somehow or another. And maybe it's difficult when you're raised in the church because you don't have a way of comparing the world to the church. But look at mom and dad, look at grandpa, and those that came out of the world and began to live for God. I'll tell you what, that's where it's at right there. Amen. We can't live for God unless we have a conversion. And that's everybody that's in this house tonight. Amen. Young and old. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so it's a picture here of the religious people of their day that thought they could live for God without the roots or the tree and being connected. But without the life of the roots, the tree dies. And I've seen dead trees, but they're still standing and they still look like trees.
Amen.
They're still standing. The winds blow and they stand in the wind, but they are dead as dead can be. And John was saying that's how it was with them. And Satan had fooled them. In fact, they were, according to Jesus, the children of Satan. And Satan was their father. And they were offering sacrifices unto Jehovah God. They came to the temple and they did the religious things on a regular basis. But they had become the children of Satan himself and actually murdered their own Messiah that came to them. So it's not a matter of where you go to church. It's not a matter of who your pastor is or isn't. Amen. What we've got to do is get our roots down deep in the soil so that when the time of trouble comes, we'll be able to stand. Amen.
Amen.
And so I want to look at it here just a little bit. I won't spend a lot more time here tonight on this. But he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. So we understand that Jesus, the Lord God, is our vine. He's everything. He's all in all. And we are the branches. That's all we are. We're just a branch. Amen. We're not the only branch. We're not the biggest branch. Amen. And maybe you are the biggest branch, and maybe others are the smallest branch. One produces more, and others produce less. Amen. But we're all connected to the same life vine, and we are all branches. Praise God. There's no one here tonight that's unimportant.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Your children are not unimportant. Everyone here is important, and we have been grafted in. We were the wild branch, and we were grafted into that vine that has true life, and so we are the branches tonight. And it is the branches that manifest the quality of the roots. I hope that I'm making some sense here tonight.
Amen.
It is the branches that manifest the quality of the roots. It's not the roots showing themselves, because the roots are underground. You can't see them until they bust your foundation up on your house or something.
Amen.
Then you know there's roots down in there. But otherwise, you don't see the roots. You just see what's above the ground. And folks, if they don't see Jesus in us, then we've got to get down to business with God and pray some more.
Amen.
Amen. And get tapped in to the root system. He said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. And this is the truth here tonight about the kingdom of God. And it's very sobering when we think about it. It's on the branches alone, that fruit is produced. And it's whether it's good fruit or bad fruit. It is always on the branches that the fruit is manifest. And he said, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Praise God. I looked up that word there, nothing. You know what it means? Nothing. It means nothing. For without me you can do nothing. I'll tell you, as the old song says, I can't even walk without holding his hand. I can't take my next breath without him. I can't live for God without him. And if I try, I'm not going to do it the right way. Praise God. If a man abide not in me, here's the sobering part. He is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Amen. You see, it's very, very important tonight that we understand the relevance and the importance of this thing of fruit. Amen.
Amen.
Because we're either a good tree or a bad tree. Amen. And I read a parable where the Lord went through his orchard, and he saw a tree, and there was no fruit on the tree. And he told his servant, he said, these 4 years, now think about this here tonight, 4 years, I don't know why he picked 4 years, but he said, 4 years I have come looking for fruit on this tree, and there is no fruit on the tree. And he said, cut it down and plant something else in its place. It's cumbering the ground. It's taking up space. And that's a very sobering thing. And then the good man, or the man that tended the orchard, he said, no, Lord, let's don't cut it down right now. Let me dig around it. Let me put some fertilizer around it. And let's see if this year it will produce some fruit. And if it does, praise God. And if it doesn't, we'll cut it down and we'll plant something else in its place. I don't know about you, but that's very sobering. Amen. We've got to do something for God. We need to produce fruit, not because we're talented or anything, but simply because we are connected.
Amen.
Are we connected tonight? I pray that we're connected to the vine. And he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. And herein is my Father glorified. Here's where God gets the glory, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Amen. I've got to ask the question as we finish here tonight. What are you connected to? What is the thing that is the most important thing in your life? I pray tonight it's God, His Word, and His will for your life. Because when it is, the fruit will begin to be produced in your life. And if you're wandering tonight in life without any fruit, I just ask that you would consider this Word of God tonight and get connected to Jesus. And they asked that question in the book of Acts, chapter 2, and verse 37. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And I hope tonight that we're all pricked in our heart, and we need to say, what shall we do? What shall we do? Well, I've been baptized. I've received the Holy Ghost. There's nothing else I need to do. No, I'm sorry. There's more that we need to do. We need to get connected. Amen. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. Everybody said, repent.
Amen.
Repent and be baptized. Everybody said, and be baptized.
Amen.
Baptized in the vine. Baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you're wondering tonight, it's because you're not connected. But you can be connected. Let's stand together tonight. Praise God. I love the Word of God.
Amen.
I love to come and to hear the Word of God. Appreciate Brother Carricker coming the other night and preaching to us. I love to hear preaching. I'm not afraid of preaching. Amen. But I want to hear what doth saith the Word of God. Are you connected to the vine tonight? Oh, well, I come to church. That's not what I'm talking about. Are you connected to the vine? Amen. Are you connected to Him? Praise God. And if you are, thank God for that. But if you're not, you're in a good place tonight, because you can be connected to Him and draw nigh unto Him. And it doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. You can be connected to the vine and do something glorious in your life and bring glory to God. Bring glory to God. Let's pray right now. Let's ask for the Word of God to find its mark tonight in somebody's heart. Come on, somebody. Come on, let's lift our voices here tonight. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, work your purpose and your will tonight, God. Lay your hand upon each of us. Help us, Lord, to become and to be good ground, to prepare our hearts for the seed of the Word of God, that we might receive it with a sincerity, that we might receive it in truth. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come on, let's lift our voices. Somebody lift your voice tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I lift up my voice unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. God is my refuge. God is my help, and that right early. I thank you tonight. I praise you tonight. I bless your name tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Can we give him a hand clap of praise tonight?